This program is a paid commercial announcement from Jacob Media Partners and does not reflect the views of WPHT or its management.
The International Brotherhood of Electrical Workers, Local Union 98, is a proud sponsor of The Labor Show with J. Doc and Krause every Saturday night from 6 to 8 p.m. IBEW Local 98's highly trained and superbly skilled electricians are the best in the business, setting the highest safety standards in the electrical industry. So when you're planning your next industrial, commercial, or residential project, choose an IBEW Local 98 union contractor. Learn more at IBEW98.org.
Now on Talk Radio 1210, WPHT, WPHT, HD, WOGL, HD3, Philadelphia. The Labor Show. J. Doc and Krause.
If we don't move in our own direction, we're going to become extinct. In fact, in some cases, we're close to being extinct right now.
Presented by the law offices of Pond, Lehocky, Giordano. Talk, listen, and speak to the region's most influential leaders. This is The Labor Show with J. Doc and Krause.
Hour number two of The Labor Show here on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT. We are live with the John Doherty Hour on The Labor Show with J. Doc and Krause. J. Doc, how are you, sir?
I'm fantastic. I'm excited. We posted the show on Facebook, and I think my computer blew up. I got so many inquiries about tonight, so obviously real excited. It's a festive night, night before the Super Bowl. We got John Doherty, not only the head of our Philadelphia building trades here, but also Philadelphia's biggest sports fan. So we got a lot of fun.
We're gonna J-Doc, get that right.
Okay, did I mess that up?
And you butchered it. and Doc will validate this. It's Philly's biggest fan, John Doherty. Right, Doc? How are you, sir?
Hey, Krause, how you doing, pal?
How good,
you doing? J-Doc, what's up, bud?
So I butchered that, John. I blew that one. I won't get it wrong again. I'm sorry. Yeah, that's going on, man. I mean, big night, Super Bowl. It's not like Super Bowls a years past, but it still feels great to be. We got Brady and we got Andy Reid. We got so much going on, man. Pretty cool event we got going on here, and a nice night to talk about it.
Yeah, I'll tell you, I'm surprised. You know, you mentioned your computer blowing up. You know, I'm surprised how many texts and messages we got, not only today but during the week. People interested. You know, it's really, there's nobody talking labor out there but you guys.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and so far, if you take a look at the Biden administration, a lot of the activities, you know, on the one side have been about, you know, undoing a lot of the Trump policies, but some of the proactive things that he's done have been to, you know, make labor unions a little more friendly and put us in a better position to do our job. As I like to say, just giving us our tools back.
Absolutely, and I can tell you this, a little shout-out to a good friend and one of your constituents at the Philadelphia Building Trades, business manager, Steamfitters Local 420, Jimmy Snell, and his family. Jimmy texted me before the show. They're all going to be listening, and they're excited, obviously, to hear what you have to say and every week. So lots of really cool things. Those are nice calls, and it is great to be talking labor, because really it's such a big part of the conversation in regards to what goes on in the Delaware Valley. So, no question about it. One of the things, John, that happened, that's going on in the Delaware Valley, you've been so influential along with the building trades and the other unions at the the COVID-19 protection for our workers, setting the tone on a national level, and that's awesome. One of the things that is in the news this week is a number of Philadelphia workers have been fired, not union. These are not union members, after raising COVID-19 concerns. They're being sued. They're suing their former employer for just raising concerns because they fired them. What are your thoughts there? Because this is why we have unions.
Well, under any administration, that's a no-brainer. And not only were they doing the right thing, but any court of law would have picked that up, and they'll be reinstated, and they'll get back pay. That's an easy one. They don't even need a union to do that. Okay, but the good part of having a union is that you never have to worry about that. You know, people wouldn't even think about doing that if we represented them.
Yeah, so, no question about it.
And let me tell you, in today's world, and I believe, look, it politics and elections have consequences. Okay, the boards will be a little bit, more worker-friendly, and they'll be respectful of, people's safety and people's opportunity to work in a safe workplace. And you're just not going to be able to push people around. It's a great time to be a member. Okay, people who don't really understand what unions do, okay, listen to this show each week. And I promise you that in a few weeks you'll understand that we're not the big old heavy set guy sitting behind a desk smoking a cigar. Okay, or the guy standing outside with a hat on backwards with a Daily News in his back pocket. Now, there's nothing wrong with them. A lot of them guys in my neighborhood still do that.
But sounds like me, Doc. Well,
it is you, Krause. Yeah. But I want you to say that, But I just want to let you know, by the end of, three or four or five shows, you'll understand and appreciate what we do, And again, I have full-time people that understand every law that are down at the NLRB, that are all, suing for this, opioids, COVID, you name it. Okay, look, if you asked me tomorrow, if I was to retire tomorrow, I would tell you the greatest thing that I've been able to do, okay, from a work perspective, is stop the rampant abuse and deaths that were occurring, okay, not only in Local 98, but with a lot of partnership in the building trades with, our good friend Buddy Osborne and Chris Ibaum and, our friends at, ATAP. We have been able to do a tremendous job. And we took the same formula and we did it with COVID, and we've been able to keep most of our people safe. I would love to, help give some more talents out there and help people get some guns off the street too, because this is crazy.
It's interesting. Oh, go ahead, Joe.
John, help me, if you can, answer the question, because I can't get the answer. I don't understand why people are so opposed to unions. I don't get it. And I stand back and I look at the amount of unbelievable commitment that the unions and the union members make to their communities. I look and I see and I hear stories of how the unions have protected the workers, and I struggle to understand why anyone, and I'm not being disrespectful to everyone, but I just don't understand why people just don't get it, why they don't understand it.
Well, over the years, it almost became cool to be rich, between jealousy and greed, and look, that 1% of the world that has all the money. And again, if you take a look, the history, the middle class rises, with the high tide of the union movement. So it's pretty simple, and when you have all the money, you control all the marketing, you control all the media. In some cases, even control some of the legal arm of the government. I joke with you. I've been doing this for 30 years, okay? And I kid with you. It's not by coincidence that every time I'm, in a major, major labor dispute with one of the big entities like Comcast, that I get much more government attention. Okay? It's just facts. I've almost considered it an occupational hazard these days. I know it's sad to say, but I believe that you are about to see, okay? Now, you have some people that have a different type of union mentality. If you take a look at the Philadelphia City Council, there is a group of people that represent people in a different way than I do. They're all about, more rent assistance, and it was some tremendous things. A new senator, Nikhil Saval, and Councilwoman Helen Jim, they've been able to make some great leeways, and there was a tremendous amount of money just recently approved, for rent assistance and things during COVID. I don't know anyone that didn't think that eventually, we were going to have a social rising. It was a matter of time. And I told you, I've been saying that for years. You just can't have, people working and other people not working. You just can't have people making all the money and some people making not any money at all. So eventually it was going to happen. I was shocked at the magnitude of it. Not surprised, shocked, okay, of it. And then COVID put another emphasis on it. People were sitting home and just watching, you know, and then, you know, as social media and, you know, the different type of sites start to really communicate with people, it was easier to get people to pay attention. It was easier to get people to show up. But it was actually easier through a computer to get people to volunteer. You know, so I believe that the tide has changed. I believe you're going to see a growth. And if you take a look, you know, one of the things that we were joking about, me and J-Doc, before was our roll up. And, you know, we did a merger with a local up in Norristown, okay, which went all the way up to Allentown. Well, the big reason wasn't they weren't in financial straits, that they own 140 acres of land there. They were part of the community. It was just that they had no market share, and their pension was on the way out the door. Well, I'm proud to say that, hey, the pension's over 60% funded now. It was like 20% on the way out the door. I'm proud to say that we have more people working up there and more jobs than we have people. We have great relationships. It was just a matter of leadership and unions and the things we bring to the table. So, you know, we will, after 3, 4, 5 weeks, you know, I believe this show will become, you know, way more, okay, paid attention to. And I also believe people will be using it to let their, you know, not just talk about their successes, but talk about their trials and tribulations, too. So, yeah, we'll be good. And you joke about people listening to it. Jimmy Snell is a great friend and one of them labor leaders who, you know, does this. But I have to let you know, he really hasn't, he doesn't have any chance of not listening. His wife, Kim, is a big fan. She grew up in a union-friendly family. Her sister was my first secretary. Okay, and Kim and the McCary family, they're just great people. So Jimmy, you know, he capitalizes on it because you don't have to take her out to dinner. He just gets to get a bottle of wine and some pizza and they listen to the show. But I just want to let you know, I mean, he has no opportunity of not listening to the show.
Well, I'll tell you, it's funny, Johnny, before you go any farther, and I know we're going to break, but I got to read this to you. I got an email. My wife is pumped for the return of Johnny Doc. She's trying to tune him in right now. I had to tell her to relax. He ain't on until 7 p.m. Her sister Dawn was one of Doc's secretaries. How about that?
Yeah. Small world, ain't it? Look, I'll be honest with you. I've had many people tell me that they enjoyed it, and they wanted to say something that they wanted us to talk about. You know, and again, the All-Star Labor Classic, and, you know, you mentioned it, Krause. I had 16 people call me and say, oh, man, we're glad to hear it's on. You know, and it was joking. And then you had Philly Voice and a couple other people picked up on it and ran an article. And I was glad that article mentioned Wayne Miller because, you know, we all joke, you know, Wayne Miller has been doing unbelievable good work here. Not only did he play, he set up the practice site. He was, you know, had unbelievable relationships with our friends at Cerebral Palsy when that was our main sponsor. I mean, he's just a great guy, and I'm glad to see him get a little ink. And, you know, he's just a good guy, and he's done wonderful things. A Juniata guy, grew up, you know, took over a union, you know, took it to places where nobody expected it to be. And in the city of Philadelphia, everybody knows who Wayne Miller is.
Hear, hear for Wayne Miller. Well done. Great way to get into our first commercial break on the John Dougherty Hour on The Labor Show. Back in a moment.
Portions of tonight's edition of The Labor Show are sponsored by Plumbers Local 690, Sheet Metal Workers Local 19, Iron Workers Local 401, and SEIU Local 32BJ District 1201.
This whole nonsense about not giving workers the right to organize with so-called right to work, that's bad. Something like that comes to my desk, I'll veto it, not just because I'm a Democrat, not just because I'm pro-labor, but because I know for a fact that's not very smart.
Live and local with the John Dougherty Hour on The Labor Show here on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT. Keep the dial tuned to WPHT every Saturday night. We'll keep you updated on the upcoming All-Star Labor Classic. And J-Doc, I know this was the year that you were planning to play in the media game before the Stars came out and played.
You ever see them?
And unfortunately, the media game will not be part of the All-Star Labor Classic this year, so I won't have to look at your ass on the court.
I was going to say, I think they're not playing the media game because they don't want to see me in shorts. That's number one. By the way, John, you and I, besides our good looks, we also have something in common. My cousin, Kevin Dougherty, and I know you have a brother by the same name, is listening. I want to give him a shout-out. He's an awesome person as well, and he just texted me, and he's loving the show. Having said that, you had a you spoke to the mayor today, who's catching a lot of, you know, he's catching a lot of crap because he's opening up some of the places. Fill us in on that.
Yeah, of course, the mayor's, you know, when I talked to him, earlier today, and of course, he's preparing for a snowstorm. And of course, he's getting a lot of calls from the people in the hospitality, the food and beverage industry, you know, and some in Jersey have opened it up from 25% to 35%. And, you know, one of the ideas that a lot of people have talked about, and, you know, one of the things I thought about was, you know, because of the snow and, you know, and you have to be responsible when you do this too. And with it being on Super Bowl Sunday, it's difficult. But one of the conversation parts you have is that I always get people call me, you know, to make sure I get in his ear a little bit and let him know, hey, look, you know, can you keep the place open a little bit longer? Can you extend the hours? You know, when do you think if the place has spent a lot of money to make sure that the ventilation's good? You know, you'll never see anybody without a mask, things like that. You know, but again, it's he's got a bigger hand than most people realize. Like we talked about, you know, just think about the last year or so he's had. He's lived in a Trump world. He's had social uprising. He's had, you know, a life-altering pandemic for every one of us. You know, he's got a million people doing a million things. And it's right around this time where you have changeover in administration. You know, and, you know, I know I had a really good friend, Chris Root, who was, you know, one of the go-to people in the managing director's office. You know, and he spent a better part of 4 years working around the clock. And, you know, when he left, he didn't just leave. He left the area. And not because, I mean, that was always in his plans to leave. But, I mean, here's a kid who had spent a better part of 4 years doing everything he could. And now he's up in Maine. Right. So there's a lot of people like that. There's a, you know, so you have change in office. You have Tumor Alexander, who's, you know, wound up being a managing director, who's a good guy, been in the system a long time.
Good friend. He's awesome.
He's one of them guys I like to say has a foot in the past and two in the future. You know, he's always going to make the right change. Plus, he understands history. You know, he has institutionalized knowledge. He's, you know, he went from Street and Nutter. You know, he has relationships with Randell, and obviously, you know, he's a powerful player in the Kennedy administration. You know, and of course, with city council, they all understand him and respect him. But again, that the mayor is concerned, you know, when you get a surprise snowstorm, you know, or if not surprised, the magnitude, they're saying it could be up to 6, 7, 8 inches, but, you know, we'll see that one. And, you know, and when there depends, too, there's two or three different types of snowstorms. These heavier and wet ones have a tendency to take utilities out and things like that. And it's somewhere along the line that all coordinates with the mayor's office.
So, and yeah. By the way, John, let's not forget Richie Lazor. Richie does an amazing job.
Yeah, Richie's a good guy, and there's a strong rumor around that, you know, people in the Biden administration would like to see him in the Labor Department. You know, he did a really good job here. You know, and again, Philadelphia is a town of unions and a town of contracts, and they're all different. You know, doing a PLA with the Philadelphia Building Trades is wildly different than doing something with the Teachers Union, the PFT, or doing something with AFSCME, or, you know, along the lines. And you have from the sanitation workers to the teachers to the doctors to sheet metal workers. I mean, we're all different. And Richie's done – the one thing Richie has done is that he doesn't tell people what they want to hear. And that's a pretty unique talent for somebody who's really not that old, you know, but he also understands that, you know, not being in this business for a while and expecting to be in this town for a while, you know, you got to keep your word. And, you know, telling people what they want to hear is not keeping your word. You know, that's good for the moment, not the future, though.
So I mean, we've had Richie on the show multiple times, and you're right. He's a young guy. He's a passionate guy. And, you know, he's passionate about our workforce here in Philly. I know that you've known him for a long time, and Pat Iding himself says, on constant occasions what a solid guy he is, really at any age, but for somebody at his age to be as successful as he is and to be so in tune in what goes on, says something. Johnny, we have efforts going.
Richie's homegrown talent. Okay, Richie, when he was a kid, okay? He ran half the programs at Reverend Barr Playground at 2nd and Jackson. But he just didn't run programs. He cleaned the locks up. He cleaned the, you know, the courts up. He made sure you had, you know, clean nets. And, you know, I always joke with that. But, you know, sure. You put a clean net on a court, it makes, like, something different happen. Richie was always responsible for that. You know, he I mean, when he was in Our Lady of Mount Carmel, he just didn't help the school. And, you know, he coached the CYO programs. But you could always find him in a rectory doing something. So, I mean, he was always just part of the community. And yeah. He is literally part of the fabric. And to see him grow up is good. And, of course, listen, when you're mayor, you know, it's the worst-kept secret in town that the areas where, you know, Jimmy grew up, the mayor grew up in, are the areas that are, you know, the toughest on him. And Richie still lives there. So yeah. Richie has to hear that every day.
Yeah. With this last year, I mean, it's been obviously difficult, no question about it. And Richie does, but Richie, it takes about 3 minutes. Joe, you and I had breakfast with him when we were, you know, talking to him about being, you know, coming on the show at least a couple times a year. And he's such a quality human being. I mean, integrity. Yeah. I mean, that's the one thing you get. You sit with Richie Lazor, and yeah, he's a straight up by the book guy. But also, you know, you're talking to somebody of integrity. And obviously, the way this year has gone. Last year in 2020 with the pandemic, with everything that had to do with the statues, with everything that had to, I mean, you're almost in no-win situations, and you get thrust into something you could never expect. And oh boy, let's talk about the social justice movement and COVID-19. Not a real playbook for any of them, John.
No, and listen, there's a reason he's handled most of the things, you know, as he would, you know, around the neighborhood. And growing up in these quarters, I don't care if you're from, but the areas where, you know, most of the people that I associated with, from Grays Ferry at 30th and Tasker to, you know, our friends at K&A and Mayfair and, you know, and you name it, all over the city, you know, Tacony. You grow up in them areas and you have relationships in them areas. And the good part of growing up in them areas is as you're young, you learn that, you know, you're allowed to lose. You learn to lose. Some people never lose in their life, and that's not good business. So Richie grew up with friends in all these communities, sure. And he's done a really good job. And, again, there's a reason why the Biden administration has solicited, you know, Richie's resume. And I know, you know, because it's one of my concerns when he leaves, that'll be a major void, especially in the labor community, especially when we have contracts, especially when we need contracts implemented, especially when we have people breaking rules out there. Okay, yeah. He understands the rules, too. And again, it's, I don't want to talk too much about the personality, but I just want to let you know he's very effective. And we've been lucky that the one or two people in our industry that wind up in government, we had a guy way back, his name was Jerry Murphy. Okay, he was somebody, he was a rec leader. Then he wound up being, you know, the head of labor for the Rendell administration. Most people would say, wow, he was the only guy in the administration early on. But at the end of the day, you know, I joke, we built tons of buildings under Rendell. Okay, and then you look at the street administration. They always had a go-to person. They always had somebody who had a little history in the city, and I thought that was the key, you know, being a Department of Rec leader, you know, or being a CYO coach, or working in, you know, one of the organizing community groups. I mean, just they're all good things, and that's what we need. And whoever, you know, wish Richie good luck if he does get them positions. It's good, great for him and great for his next role. But we need somebody who understands labor, somebody out of the labor community, somebody that understands contracts, and somebody who'll be able to get the mayor on the phone.
Right.
And that's one of Richie's key things. He can pick the phone up, and the mayor's going to call him back within minutes.
It's the John Docherty Hour on the Labor Show here on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT. We're live. We're local. Back in a moment.
Portions of tonight's edition of The Labor Show are sponsored by Sprinkler Fitters Local 692, Iron Workers Local 405, and Steam Fitters Local 420.
We're going to try to work with Republicans in a bipartisan way to find solutions to what really is not working.
And back here live on the John Doherty Hour on the Labor Show with J-Doc and Krause as we come to you on Talk Radio 1210, WPHT. Carson Wentz has now officially removed Eagles quarterback from his Instagram account. So I guess that process will continue to play out. The trade has not been made yet, but all of the backroom negotiation will continue. We'll see
J-Doc.
We'll see how that plays out. Doc, I'm sorry. I don't want to get off in a football conversation, my friend, but I am so sorry to see Carson Wentz leave this town. I was, and I am, a big fan of number 11.
Yeah, so was I, and you and I had a lot of, a conversation about that. I was talking to J-Doc earlier today, and I was saying that, my friends down there, and, we have a lot of friends that we do a lot of business down with the Eagles and the Phillies, and we know a lot of people in the ownership and the upper management, and they said it was a done deal. It was just a matter of, I guess they were trying to leverage, the best pick out of it they could get. And there were some people inside that thought that when they signed Brian Johnson as the come on board, he had a history with Hurts and his family from yesteryear, and he was brought in town to, work with him. And so, so there's some idea that, they're going to be committed to him, but, with the sixth pick, it'll be interesting if they do unload him, what kind of picks they get for him. There was some rumor out there that they were looking at trading back to from the sixth to the ninth pick with Denver for a third and a fifth round pick. And they thought that was, something that could happen before the draft. And Denver wanted to move up and grab a quarterback, too. So it'll be interesting. A lot of these moves, will be dependent upon what happens with Wentz. It looks like ESPN has said that, he'll be going by the Super Bowl. And some of the announcers have said that. And again, it'll be interesting to see what we get.
No doubt.
The obvious spot is to go, with Frank Wright and Press Taylor, who was with him this year, supposed to be signing down there, as a quarterback assistant. So we'll see. But that would be the obvious spot. It would be nice to, I want the Eagles, the Phillies, the Flyers, and the Sixers to win every game. I always think that whoever they pick is going to be the greatest of all time. And, but it will be nice to see if he landed it down there with Wright and the Colts. It looks like that they had a nice run this year, and it would be nice to see him play with a good team and have a real good year.
I'm with you, my friend. No doubt about it. We'll see how it all plays out. Doc, a couple of quick follow-ups just off of the conversation that we had a week ago. I'd love to get just an update from you. Any other conversations around what's happening at the refinery? We talked about the efforts to get essential worker status for building trades members. Can you touch back on those two bullet points? I know we talked about them briefly last week. I'd love to get an update if we can.
Yeah, I'll give you some rapid fire on three points that we talked about last week. The Hilco, I told you I wasn't exactly thrilled with them. We had a very good Zoom meeting this week. And we, they've been placing more people in management, and they've been placing more people who understand the construction industry. And we got a commitment from them that, everything and anything they do will be 100% thought of for building trades. We also committed to, some of the guidelines and the protocols that they're looking in place. And again, they're looking to be, very inclusive and very Philadelphia friendly when it comes to their workforce. But, again, them zip codes down there are where I grew up in. And again, I explained to everybody that, the refinery created a lot of opportunities, and we had to make sure that we didn't bypass any opportunities for work and a decent wage. And you aforementioned Jimmy Snell, and you heard John Bland on the commercials. Guys had lots of guys working there that aren't working this winter. And, we have people taking things apart, and we have a lot of possibilities for green energy jobs, but they don't make anywhere near, the money that people make in the construction industry. So, we have a future down there. I think it's going to grow. And I think that, most people feel really comfortable. We're more comfortable and just looking to, make our relationship a little bit more permanent and probably put some of the agreements that we made on our Zoom call in writing. And I'm looking forward to that creating a lot of jobs for a lot of building trades craftspeople over the next few years down at the old refinery and working for Hilco.
John, talk about the essential worker status for the building trades members. Where do we stand there?
Well, the essential worker status is, look, we don't ever want to jump ahead of anyone in line that needs a vaccine. Okay, you know, anybody senior, anybody who's been ill, anybody who's, you know, a caregiver. And, you know, I know as well as anybody what that means. But we also want to make sure that we have a lot of our people who work in that industry. We have tons of people working in hospitals. We have people working in pharmaceutical labs. And, you know, and we're out in the public as much as anyone. And we've done a great job. And we've shown that we've done a great job of being able to work under these awkward circumstances, not miss time, and keep our people safe. So we just want to make sure that, you know, and what we've also said is we volunteered our union halls. We volunteered our money. We volunteered a lot of our professional services to partake. And we told people we have about 6 or 7 union halls ready to roll to open up and give vaccines. We're working with everybody anywhere, okay, to get rid of this ugly virus.
Absolutely.
And one of the things disease.
One of the things that we talked about that actually got some press that we wanted to get sort of an update on is revisiting your role with Mark Rayfield and the plans for Evolution Gaming concept. Talk about that, if you will, because people were inquiring about it about 3 minutes after you mentioned it.
Well, listen, I don't think they were well-intentioned when they were doing their initial inquiry to say, hey, why would you guys be involved in gaming and things like that? You know, and again, but here's why. Just like I was involved with East Market Street and the hospitality industry, and just like I'm involved with it today, just like I'm involved with making sure all our colleges are successful, okay, anything that we can bring to Philadelphia to create another work opportunity and take a building that might be not occupied and occupy it and take something away from New York City or San Francisco or Atlanta or anywhere in most of these big urban environments, I'm for. So, and we have some great people. And again, I told you at the last meeting, I said the F&B crew, which is the food and beverage crew, you know, I had a little idea of some of the people that were involved in some of the conversations I wasn't, you know, free to say yet. But, you know, we got a lot of talented people in town. When you took from Steven Starr to Garcia, some of these people in town, I don't want to not mention them, but we got 16 prominent, okay, prominent chefs and people who own more than one establishment in Philadelphia today. It's a great place to eat. Just look at East Passyunk Avenue.
Yeah.
Okay, so whatever I can do. So if there's an industry out there, we got a Navy Yard. You know, I want to make us the pharmaceutical capital of the world between here and Montgomery County. Okay, I want to make, and anything else we can put there. Silicon Valley, we can do anything and everything they can do. We have as many talented people. We have a better environment. And we have, and believe it or not, you know, we have a very liberal government. They have an insane government out there in California. I mean, mm-hmm. They want people to go to work and come home with nothing in their pocket. Okay, so you know, I'm looking to create a marketplace. Gaming is that. You got live casino opening up this week. They got a great lab there for gaming. You got the place at 16th Street in the CBS building. They have a great product. You have somebody looking to take, you know, the restaurant environment in Center City and create a situation where, you know, people can come in and eat. And, you know, if they want to wager on something in a legal manner, they can. So, you know, it's a good thing. It's another market to market Philadelphia. And people say, well, casinos, you'd be shocked how many people in the hospitality industry. Okay, we'll tell you, hey, when we're in town, we got 5 nights. You know, they want a good restaurant. They'd like to see a good play. Okay, they wouldn't mind going to an establishment where they could do 4 or 5 things. And I hear the hotel down there is knocked out, completely knocked out. So that's all good stuff. I was by the W today. That looks great. And you have that restaurant down there, Dolce, and a few people. As soon as we get some people, you know, vaccinated, we'll be able to really start to fill these restaurants back up.
Absolutely. John, what is it like when you're pitching to, you know, for these big projects coming into town? I mean, by now, obviously, our reputation precedes in labor, but still, these massive projects come in, and there's a lot on the line. What is that presentation like when you're dealing with some of these big dogs? And in a lot of time, in a lot of ways, the labor movement in our community here is on the line when it happens.
Well, it talks to the maturity of the labor movement. We have tremendous amounts of high quality and young, aggressive business managers in town. And they're all mature enough to allow me and one or two people to be out in front with a lot of these new businesses. You know, and if you take a look at our relationship with the pharmaceutical industry, okay, or even the energy industry, you know, in some days, in some ways, we supplement the chamber. Okay, and there was just a few articles that, you know, that have been across the media that talk about, you know, the chamber's been a little late in leading policy. Okay, well, you can say a lot of things about the Philadelphia building trades, but one thing that you can't say is that John Street, Jim Kenney, Ed Rendell, even Michael Nutter to a degree, they all understood what we wanted. And we didn't want side jobs. We didn't want anything other than things that created work for our members. And that's what we do. You know, we want people to pay attention. You know, I mean, you look, I have been as loud as anyone, okay, as it pertains to, you know, the Tax Fairness Workers Act. Now, that's 2103. Everybody knows that. People say, why would you want to be changing a tax code? What? For two reasons. One, I want to make sure, okay, that I make the union dues tax deductible again. Because why? It's like giving everybody in our industry anywhere between $5,000 to $12,000 raise immediately. You know, why can't we share in the wealth? Why do every time we do a tax cut, it's to take money out of the real rich, okay, or to put in the, or when the budgets come, or to put some sort of pork in the bottom of it that helps some museum someplace that nobody will ever hear from, you know? I want to make sure that the workers in the Philadelphia building trades get every benefit they can. That's my job. And the people around here and anybody who comes into Philadelphia knows that I don't want anything, and we're willing to put our money up. We have union pension monies in projects all over this city. And look, I'm not exactly, that's why we have great investment people. I know enough that there's different types of money, and we're willing to help them in what is called the mezzanine fashion, which is sort of like a bridge, or to a total investment. Okay, and there's also people that understand that if we tell them that something's going to cost $1 million, it doesn't cost $2 million, it costs $1 million. And I can tell you, you take a look at as far down as Market Hook, and I use that as a marketing piece all the time because that was a big energy company that didn't have really any history with unions. And they've never seen anything like what we did for them. I mean, we did a fabulous job for them. Okay, brought it in on time, no accidents. You know, it was a perfect installation. And in their own words, it was a perfect installation. 7.2 hours of work, the last phase of it. The last phase, not $7.2 million worth of money, 7.2 million hours of work.
Wow.
Okay, the people we have are so good, and our places, you don't have, you know, everybody has a mask on. Everybody keeps a distance. You know, we drug test. We stay on top of our people. If we got a problem, we fix it. Our problems are our problems, not your problem. And people know that. So that's why people come into town and want to do business with us.
The John Docherty Hour on The Labor Show with J. Doc and Krause. Quick commercial break. Back on the other side.
Portions of tonight's edition of The Labor Show with J. Doc and Krause are presented by DC 33, Local 1637, News Guild 10, and IBEW Local 98. Choose an IBEW Local 98 union contractor when planning your next project.
And back here on the John Docherty Hour on the Labor Show with J. Doc and Krause, our final segment here as we are live and local on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT. Doc, few minutes left and before we get to the top of the hour, but I did want to make one quick comment. Boy, getting that union dues reinstated as tax deductible, man, is that significant. That is a significant thing to accomplish. House Resolution 2103, is that, do you anticipate that becoming a reality?
I think so. We have two heavy hitters from this region. Of course, Senator Casey's been making it one of his major issues, and Congressman Boyle, Brendan Boyle. It's a big issue with him, and it's something that, you know, I know that he works with all our political people, and he works with all our lobbyists, and they're just a couple of good guys. Hey, Joe, you mind if, you know, we jump on a couple different topics real quick?
Let's do it.
Joe Doc and myself, you know, earlier we were talking, just going over some neighborhood stuff, you know, and just want to let you know, Leon Spinks died tonight. Leon Spinks and Michael Spinks and Sugar Ray Leonard, weren't they great Olympics back then?
Oh, my God.
I remember as a kid, I was like 16, I was coming home to watch boxing with my father and some of my friends I'm going to age myself, in our, what we refer to as our parlor. You know, when you live in a row home on 4th and Jackson, you know, where you have the TV, it's a parlor. It's not a den. It's not a TV room. Because,
John,
it also winds up being a kitchen some days.
Now, what people don't remember is back in the early days, especially right after those Olympics, Leon Spinks was really the big name. Michael was big.
He beat Muhammad Ali?
Yeah, he beat Muhammad Ali. He beat Muhammad Ali.
I mean, he was big.
Yeah, he died. The other thing is, listen, I got to laugh, and it's been a joke here. You know, we talk about everybody who listens to the show. You know, of course, Sealy, you know, listens to the show each week, the whole hour, and we were laughing because I told him I was talking to you about Skeech from Saved by a Bell died.
Oh my God!
Listen, what a freak that guy was. You know, a wise old man told me everybody's got a little freak in them, and that guy had a lot in them. Okay, and he said. I mean, I'll never watch that show again and think the way I did before. But, you know, anybody who had kids, you know, around the time I am, they had to watch Saved by the Bell. I mean, all the kids loved that.
I remember. Yeah, no, my son also watched it. It was on in our house all the time. No question about it. And
how about Andy Reid?
Yeah, man.
How many times, Joe, years ago when we started, you know, the Philly's biggest fan, did we talk about, you know, Andy and his relationship with the kids. Now, I mean, this is just a tragedy, you know, but I mean, and unbelievable, you know, how you can have so much success one day and the next day something terrible can happen, you know, and it'll be interesting to see exactly how that plays out.
Our thoughts and prayers go out, obviously, to the little girl. And I know she's fighting. And certainly, you know, definitely devastating. I mean, at this, you know, it's a national story. Obviously, it's incredibly serious.
Yeah.
I don't have all the facts, but, man, I know his son won't be at the Super Bowl, and God knows what's going to happen, you know, depending upon what happens, I guess, to the little girl. I don't have all the facts, but certainly that's a tragic situation.
If Krause remembers, I said to Krause, we were talking one time, that I thought he should probably take a leave of absence when he was here because of all the craziness. Joe, do you remember? Trying to call in, telling me I was crazy, things like that, you know. But, I mean, it's both his sons have had issues. But, you know, would it be in Super Bowl Sunday tomorrow? One great reminder that comes out of that is please don't drink and drive. You know,
Absolutely. There's
no reason to drink and drive in today's world with Uber. Also, again, Krause, it's going to be high of 20 degrees this week. Can't thank you enough. We're dropping all the coats and blankets and scarves and hats off. I know you've still been doing it as recently as last week. It's almost a year-round event for you. Okay, I know it's not perfect, but there's a lot of people that have some really nice coats. You know, you're going to have Carhartts and North Face and, you know, I mean, you know, I would love to have everybody have, you know, a heated house and, you know, a beautiful job. But in the meantime, till we can get there, what you do is amazing. And I don't want anybody, you know, we can talk on the radio all we want. We can do interviews. We can do all kinds of things. But we can never forget the little things that are done by a lot of people. And you do as much as anybody. And what you do without asking for any pats on the back is amazing. And again, I can't even imagine how many coats you got out the last week or two, knowing that it was going to be as cold and snowy.
Doc, I'm pushing out another plea for more. I got a text right before I came on the air, right before we came on to do this show, from my friends up at the American Legion up in Holland, Pennsylvania, a destination where I normally drop off anywhere from 100 to 150 coats, and we bring them, we we bring them by size, and I delivered those coats to them, and they needed another 25 coats, and they sent
Tell them you'll have another 100 up there early this week from your friends at the Building Trades. My friends will make sure that you have whatever you need. And again, I can't believe this hour blew by. Hang with us in the next 4 or 5 weeks. You'll know why you should be in a union.
And John, real quick before you go,
15 seconds, Dado.
John, what's your prediction tomorrow?
Tampa Bay, even though you know, I just think everybody and their brother likes Kansas City. I owe you guys one. The last game or two I gave you, they turn out the way I'd like it. I Tampa Bay in a really great Super Bowl.
Awesome.
Great stuff. Well said, well stated. Doc, thank you, brother. I appreciate everything you do.
Gronk will definitely score a TD.
Okay, there's a prop bet for you, J-Doc. That's going to do it for the John Docherty Hour on the Labor Show. On behalf of John Docherty, on behalf of J-Doc, on behalf of everybody tuning in tonight to the live show, I'm Joe Krause. See you next time, everybody.
This edition of The Labor Show have been sponsored by Sheet Metal Workers Local 19, CWA, Communication Workers of America, and AFSCME Local 1739, DC 47. This program is a paid commercial announcement and does not reflect the views of WPHT or its management.